The next chapter in Eileen Farrell's great career was to finally step on the opera stage in fully performed, costumed operatic performances. This was something that the musical public had long been awaiting.
No, the first opera, complete opera I did was, well, of course, I did a Cavalleria down in Tampa, Florida, of all things.
Oh, kind of out of the way.
Well, yes. This is the place to start.
This is the first one on stage with costumes and sets and so on.
And then the next one, the big one, was in San Francisco, and I did Trovatore with Jussi Björling.
You don't get much better than that for a collaborator,
no,
do you?
No, you don't.
Now, we're located right between Milwaukee and Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a lot of listeners that attend the Chicago Lyric Opera.
Oh, I was there, too.
I know you were in several different operas, I think, in the late 50s and early 60s.
Yes.
So do you have fond memories of your experience on the opera stage?
Oh, I loved to be on the opera. Oh, I loved it. Absolutely.
And because you came, I ask because you came to it kind of sort of slowly compared to others who plunge into that right away. You really took your time.
Well, you know, so many people had said, why aren't you singing at the Met? And I always say, because nobody asked me. And nobody had. So I remember one day the phone rang, and I answered, and it was Mr. Bing. And he said, I know that you say that nobody's ever asked you to sing at the Met, but he said, I'd like to ask you now. So I was quite pleased.
Yeah.
And then he said, I said, well, what opera did you have in mind? And he said, what was it?
I think he was issuing an invitation for Gluck's Alceste.
Alceste. And, of course, Divinità di Stichfei had sung for thousands of years.
Uh-huh.
And so I said to him, are we going to do it in French? And he said, no, he said, I have no French singers at the Met.
Hmm.
I won't say any more about that. But so we did it in English.
Yeah.
And the translation was terrible. And of course, you know, they've never done it since.
Yeah.
They've never done it since.
I would think one of the things that was especially intimidating about the prospect is because the last time the Met had done it, it had been with the great Norwegian soprano Kirsten Flagstedt.
I know.
So in a sense, here you were following in her footsteps.
No, that never entered my mind.
Huh.
So what I was doing was my own thing.
You had kind of an interesting, let's say, checkered experience at the Met, and this is one of the things I was most anxious to ask you about, because I know that you, in some ways, look back very fondly at your time in the Met and
mm-hmm.
regret that it ended as soon and abruptly as it did. And on the other hand, you, when you talk about those Met years in any detail, it's clear that you were not, at least in every way, very happy there or very comfortable there.
Well, I was happy, but and I loved being there. I loved singing the operas, and the people I worked with were wonderful. And but Mr. Bing had an awful lot to say, and he said too much as far as I'm concerned. And he asked me to if I would do Wozzeck in English, and I said no, I wouldn't do it in English. And so the minute I said that, I knew that I would not be back at the Met again.
Yeah, he didn't take kindly to people saying no.
No,
did he?
No. But I had recorded Wozzeck, and I had learned, it was bad enough that I learned it in German.
Right.
Well, I have to relearn it, because I did that one time with Ariadne. I did it in concert form in English, and then when I did it in San Francisco, we did it in German. And that was very kind of confusing.
Mm. I bet it was almost harder than learning something entirely different.
It was. It really was.
To sort of relearn it,
yeah.
An aspect of it. Well, at the Met, although it was not a long time you were there, you did sing there in, I know, André Chénier and La Gioconda and La Forza del Destino.
Right.
Oh, what else? Oh, Cavalleria Rusticana.
Cavalleria.
And you sang opposite some important people, including a couple of tenors named Corelli and Tucker that I know you have strong opinions about.
Yes, I do.
Not the most glowing opinions either.
No.
But I like the frankness with which you speak in your book. I mean, that's what makes a book like this interesting.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it.
Well, tell us about those tenor colleagues and what it was like to sing opposite.
Well, one thing... I recorded a duet, an album of duets with Richard. And, you know, generally when you sing a duet on stage, you are sort of in close contact with whomever you're singing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the studio, we were standing together, and then the engineer would say, "Miss Farrell, please step back." And then, "Miss Farrell, please step back." I finally said, "Listen, I could have stayed home and phoned this part in, and it would be just okay." And Richard didn't like the fact that my voice was so big that I had to step back. And we were at least, I don't know how many feet we were away from each other.
Oh, dear.
So I was way in the back.
You also talk in the book about a squabble over who gets top billing on that little duet album. It was supposed to be Farrell and Tucker. He wanted it switched to Tucker and Farrell and so on. And
he had it done, too.
Yeah.
And then when I heard about it, we had it undone.
And here's a brief excerpt from that album of opera duets, Eileen Farrell, joined by Richard Tucker. This duet comes from Verdi's A Masked Ball.
Sorry.